Our first scripture lesson today is from the Old Testament, a reading from the book of Psalms. Hear now this reading from Psalm 118, 1 through 2 and 19 through 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter of Luke, and we will be hearing the story of Palm Sunday according to Luke. And as we are often invited to do on these special occasions in the church, when we read familiar stories, we are invited to listen to them with new ears. So let us hear this story and listen for God's voice in our lives. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it, as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God." I would like for us to begin our sermon time this morning with a little game. Would you like to play a little game? Well, it's a simple game, and it's sort of a take on one of those spot the differences games, you know, where you see two pictures, that seem to be identical, and you have to find the differences in the pictures. I don't know about you, but whenever I run up onto one of those, I just get sucked into it. And I do have a little compulsiveness about me that I cannot let it go until I find them. And as is often the case with those, with things like that, you'll get down to the last one or two. And that's the time when you just put it aside and then you come back to it. And inevitably, for me at least, the two that I couldn't find are usually the first two I see when I come back. But anyway, this is the kind of game we're going to play this morning with our scripture reading. And what we're going to play is just a little twist on this game. We're going to call it What's Missing from the Story. And as we heard the story this morning, what, within the general understanding we have of Palm Sunday, what is missing from the story we just heard? You can speak it out if you, anybody. I can't hear. Somebody's saying something. Palm branches. That's exactly right. There are no palm branches in the Luke version of this story. What else is missing? Shouting Hosanna. There are no Hosannas in this story in Luke. Okay, there's still one other thing missing from this story that is traditionally associated with Palm Sunday. What is it? The donkey's in this story. Pardon? Second donkey. Well, that's technically, but yeah, there are two donkeys there in this one. What else is missing in this story, the way we understand Palm Sunday? This is where we need to put the story aside, come back to it later, and then it'll dawn on us, right? Well, we don't have the time to do that, so I'm going to tell you. It's children. As a matter of fact, there are no children in any of the biblical Palm Sunday stories, but that's actually another sermon, and we're not going to do that today. Instead of palms in this Luke story, we have cloaks being spread on the path. Now, we also have cloaks in a couple of the other stories, Matthew in particular, but it's cloaks and palms. But in Luke, we only have palms. And instead of the Hosannas, we have, there is this phrase, glory in the highest heaven. Now, this also comes from a psalm, which is where Hosanna comes from. Just as a little side note, did you realize that you heard the word Hosanna in the reading of the 118th Psalm? You did, but you didn't. That's because our English translation sort of sanitizes the word. What you heard was, save us, we beseech you. That's what we heard. What that actually is that is a Hebrew phrase. And the Hebrew phrase is Hoshiana. Hoshiana. Ho is an emphatic prefix to a Hebrew word. Ho. Hoshiana. This is an emphatic declaration of the phrase, save us. And it's also imperative. Save us now. That's what Hosanna means. The crowd is shouting to Jesus. Save us now. But we don't have any hosannas in this story. We have glory in the highest heaven. As a matter of fact, this phrase does not appear in any of the other versions. Now, there's another thing in this story that's not in any other story. And surely you noticed this. What is it? Shouting stones. This is the only place that shouting stones appear in the Palm Sunday in the Gospel of Luke. Now, if all of this is not enough, looking at the Palm Sunday story from a different perspective, there's still one more thing that I'd like to mention. And that is this idea of Palm Sunday as a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If you'll notice, when you look in most of our English Bibles, especially the ones that have given us topics, which by those are topics that we have put in these Bibles, and these bold topic headings in our Bibles will tell, oh, they will say the prodigal. You know, the parable of the fish and the loaves. And this story usually is entitled Jesus' Triumphal Entry into Jerusalem. And much of our church liturgy uses this language. Our hymnology uses this language of triumph. We call this Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I suggest to us this morning that what we have come to celebrate as triumphal entry is actually a surrender. Jesus is entering the one place that he knows his life is in danger, the city of Jerusalem. Jesus knows that he is safe as long as he stays in the villages and the countryside. But he also knows that if he spends too much time in Jerusalem, he will be killed. He knows this so well that the last week of his life that we call Holy Week, the last week of his life as it is recorded in Scripture, Jesus never spends the night in Jerusalem. Until that fateful night when he chooses to be captured. That final week of his life, he goes into Jerusalem and he teaches and he argues with the Pharisees. But at night, he always goes back out to usually Bethany. And most of the Gospels record this dynamic. Because he knows this is a dangerous place where his life is in peril. And so when he enters the city of Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, he is actually surrendering to this reality. Rather than a triumphal entry, it is a resignation to the reality that the powers of Jerusalem will ultimately kill him. It is also Jesus' own surrender to God. Let me share a brief reading with you that comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, which is really a liturgical reading from that day, that time in the early church. It's sort of an affirmation of faith that, like, we would read together in worship. A piece of liturgy from the early church that comes from the book of Philippians. Listen to this. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus empties himself and humbles himself to the point of death. He surrenders himself completely, not only to the Roman and Jewish authorities, but to God. But it's not the death that we think of when we think of death. This is not death that is dark and feared, the end of physical life, but rather death as a doorway into the exaltation of God and God's glory and God's presence in our lives. And I suggest to us this morning that the pageantry of Palm Sunday is a literal physical enactment of this surrender. Jesus goes into Jerusalem and empties himself not only to the authorities, but to God. And this emptying is a process that ultimately ends on the cross. Jesus dies to the egotistical notion that God can be contained and controlled in systems of government and economics and religion, for which Jerusalem is the brand. But he doesn't do this by storming the gates. He does this by surrendering. Throughout Holy Week, Jesus goes into Jerusalem and he teaches and proclaims the gospel and he shares the good news. But he doesn't do it violently. He doesn't do it in a confrontational way. He basically does it by surrendering himself primarily to God. And Jesus finally goes into Jerusalem to be who he really is, the presence of God in the world. Now there's another little phrase in this Philippians liturgy that I would like for us to pay close attention to today, and that is the first phrase. May you have the mind of Christ. Paul uses this hymn to show the mindset that we are called to. The mind of Christ, the mind that empties itself and humbles itself to the presence of God in our lives, letting go of all the things we cherish the most, surrendering Now, how would our lives change and how would the world change if we surrendered whatever or whoever it is that we think we can't live without? It could be money, it could be power, it could be influence, it could be loyalty and love to our own families, to friends, to country, and it could even be religion. Whatever it is in our lives that we think we cannot live without, we are called to surrender, to give it up, to have the mind of Christ and empty ourselves. When Jesus walks into Jerusalem, he is surrendering fear. The fear of being who he is called to be, as well as the fear of death. And when there's nothing to be afraid of, not even death, that's when the presence of God breaks forth in our lives and in all creation. And we begin to experience the presence of God everywhere. Now, as Lent comes to an end and we conclude our series of discovering the humanity of Jesus, let me suggest that Palm Sunday is when Jesus becomes fully human. He becomes fully human by surrendering any notion of separation from God. And in the same way, we are called to remove our cloaks of fear and separation, to discover the presence, the glory of God within us, around us, and throughout all creation, even in stones that shout glory in the highest heaven. And when we, like Jesus, accept our full humanity, created in the image of God, we begin to experience that image in the most surprising places, even in rocks. Amen. My friends, as Palm Sunday comes to a close, as our hymn reminds us, we can see clearly the road ahead. And we have also been reminded this morning by the little game we played at the beginning of the sermon, and then by looking at the story in Luke, that sometimes we have to give up in order to see what's really there. And Jesus comes into Jerusalem surrendering. I can't help but think of, this was many years ago, it dates me, and I know many of you will remember this, the bombastic Ted Turner once claimed that he wasn't a Christian because he would not be part of a religion that followed a loser. And the irony of that is that his deriding Christianity was describing it. Because Jesus, in the terms of the world, is a loser. From the very beginning, he surrenders. And it's in surrender that we find victory. It's another one of those gospel paradoxes that just drives us crazy. But that's the way the gospel is. So as we began the service filled with excitement and joy and waving our palms, we now have Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday in our sights. Go in peace, my friends, and be careful out there. Amen.